Hello and welcome to Dynamics Update. Today is one of the interview episodes, but it's also one of the subject deep dive episodes, because this was a subject that I've been talking a lot about on the podcast before, and I think it's a fascinating one because it will change a lot of how we do things in F&O. With me, as usual, of course, is Gustav Sundblad. Welcome, Gustav.
Hello.
And we have a guest that is all the way from the USA, from Microsoft. Hi, Pravesh. Could you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Johan. Hello, everyone. My name is Pravesh Vaghasia. I'm a senior solution architect at Microsoft Fast Track. So I'm a part of the supply chain in the United States team, Fast Track team. And I'm the one who is currently driving the Microsoft Dynamics archive feature with the long-term retention, along with the engineering team and the customer experience.
Very okay. Nice. Happy to have you here.
Yeah. So I, for one, have a couple of customers who have started to reach out to me and worrying a bit about when they saw the storage report in Power Platform Admin Center, and they saw especially when they saw the percentage numbers, they was like, okay, that's a lot. We have a lot of data that we are not necessarily always paying for, but if we do need to pay for it, it will be fairly expensive. So could you please walk us through the archiving features and the ideas behind what it's actually supposed to do?
Yep, sure. So let me just, I will just try to set up the context first, so that will help to understand the why we need the data archive. So as a part of the, and you made a really good point regarding the storage capacity report that has been introduced in Power Platform Admin Center. So as a part of the transparency from the Microsoft, you know, to our customers, like where are they right now? Or which are the particular, what is their consumption, and which are the tables that participate into that consumption. So that way that our customers and the partners get a chance to review their data growth, and it shows the 90 days of the data growth. So that's that explain that, you know, that how the data has been growing, which are the tables that the data it has been grown. And so that accordingly, they can decide their strategy to how to deal with that particular. They can decide whether that these are the records are important, or that, you know, some of the data can be cleanup. We have a list of the cleanup routines that is available in our documentation, and that is a part of the features. So some of the transactional data that you don't need, or the data that participate into the creation of that some sort of the documentations, that doesn't require after that the document, like our sales invoice, order confirmation, packing slips that has been posted, that's no longer required. So some of the records that, you know, the sales form table, sales form lines, and so these are the part of the cleanup routine. So you can run, set up the cleanup routine, and those records will get cleaned up at the periodic interval. And some of that are the data that is related to that our business, which is required even that for my analytics need. Right, some of that data that will be required from the compliance perspective as well, so that we cannot delete. So we may need to retain those records. However, that I cannot keep it into that my live tables, because if I will keep it in my live tables, we have seen that the performance is getting impacted because of the data growth in the tables. So that is the reason we can say that, you know, we have seen in that customers who are live for some longer duration, we observe that they are adding around 0.25 terabytes to 1 terabyte of the data on year-on-year basis. Depends on the size of your transaction, and depends on the customer that for how long that you are using the Microsoft Dynamics Finance and Operations as your core ERP system, yeah. Right? So at some point that we may need to think of like what to do with my transactional tables, because of the data growth in the tables is going to hit my performance. It's going to hit my database maintenance related activities. And of course, it is somewhere the data storage has been increasing. So it hit that the storage cost. So answer to all those questions and the problems, that we come up with the solution, that is the data archive with long-term retention.
All the answer to all, the solution to all our problems, right?
Yeah.
So as I understand it, it's actually like a two-step process. It's not just that we move it out of F&O out to long-term retention storage, but there is actually a middle step that we take to get there.
Yeah. So as an implementation of the data archive feature, definitely we want to reduce the data from our live tables so that the transactional tables will be the lightweighted, and so that we get the performance, the improvement. However, if you are not ready from the other side, like what next after the data archive, and the very next day of that your successful run of the data archive, also the live records have been deleted, and someone come to you, ask that the question I got the inquiry about that particular sales order or that particular the GL, the ledger that was being posted, wanted to do that the inquiry. Where can I see those records? So as a part of the data archival, we are deleting the data from the live table and we are creating those records within that the F&O, we call it as a history table. So that data is getting deleted from the live table, it will get copied into the history table. And of course, as a part of the data archive, those records, all that my live plus archive records will get copied, and on daily basis it will get synchronized into the managed data lake. So that way that our customers can use the managed data lake. It's a SaaS solution. So using Fabric, you can perform the inquiry on those managed data lake tables, and you can build your Power BI reports and the way that you want to inquiry to that, those records. But coming to that particular point regarding that the history table. So we have given that the scenarios the scenarios have already been built. So for those scenarios, Microsoft has built read-only forms. We call it as inquiry forms on top of that the history table. So that as a business users, you can go to the F&O archive workspace and you can do the inquiry of that particular records that you wanted to see. So you don't need to go anywhere else within the F&O that you have a data.
No, exactly. But from a storage, I've read through a lot of the documentation here and tried it out. It's really fun to kind of look at the reports and to see the actual growth and how the tables are coming at it as a nerd. It's more of from an application performance perspective. I see this as two things, right? It's one is cost driven, of course, because cost is important, and it's not super cheap with live data as it is right now. But the other is, and I think that's the main point of this, is of course performance and long-term runability. I mean, at the end, you hit some kind of limit somewhere. You need to be able to archive. So that's the main purpose or the main usability I see here. Because those history tables that you refer to, they are also, I mean, even if the table data is stored there, they don't have all the indexes and all this bloat around the live tables, right? So they are also smaller just by design, basically. But they're not meant... They're not used for reporting. They're just to be able to undo if you archive, right? That's how it works. If I archive something by mistake or I for any reason figure out I need to restore it, you can restore it off the history tables. But once it's purged from the history tables, I can no longer restore it back into F&O.
Correct.
Yeah.
So right. That is what that by design it is like that, and that is what that it is little bit different than the what archive solution that we have in C.
Yeah.
Because the C, it is used the similar technology, but there is no point to restore. But that is the difference in the F&O.
Yeah.
Because the data reside within the F&O database itself in the history table, of course. And that is the reason that, the restore functionality will be easy.
Yeah.
And another point that you made a point about that, definitely the question would be from the customers, like if you are copying the data from my one table to the another table, how can you blame that, we are here to save your cost? So answer to that question is the each table consists of two parts. One is the data, another one is the index.
Yeah.
So when you copy that the data from live table to the history table, live table, we required the lots of indexes.
Yeah.
Inventrans is a classic example. I can say around 20 plus indexes definitely to be there, right? Because of the, this is the table which is being used by inventory transactions and for all the reporting, wherever that you perform any kind of the transaction related to the inventory, it will create, update the records in the inventory transactions. So this is the reason lots of indexes, and that index is occupies that its own space.
Yeah.
So the normally table that we have seen that if it is 100 GB of my inventrans table, definitely the 30 GB will be kind of the data and the kind of the 60 to 70% would be the index size.
Yeah.
So if I bring that particular, if I perform the archival of the 100 GB of my inventrans table, I will bring the 30 GB of the data, I will put it into the history table, so that my reduction of the 100 GB over there, it is increased the 30 GB, so that my gain is around 70 GB.
Yeah.
Another thing is the important points on the history table is that Microsoft best practice recommendation is keep minimum number of the indexes, one or two max. That is what that you are going to save, because of in the history table is not meant for the reporting. History table is just only for the inquiry purpose.
Yeah.
If you want to build your analytics, your reporting, use the managed data lake. And
yeah, of course. Yeah, and that makes total sense, of course. I mean, yeah. Otherwise, it would make no sense to just copy it to another table within the same platform.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes no sense at all. And I completely understand. It feels very nice coming from like experience. Someone ran a batch job archiving my invoices. They shouldn't have done that. It's very nice to be able to have that cushion, that restore operation back. So that was a very nice architectural move, I think.
And the architecture being able to undo. Yeah, architecture perspective, the thing is like we are not using batch job. So we using the batch job.
It's low level, I understand. But it's more like, you know, someone will do wrong. Yeah, exactly. But someone will most likely archive things by mistake. And then it's very nice to not have to kind of invent a way to reverse engineer it back from Dataverse back into FNO. So I think that was a nice thing to have. But as you say, the cost saving will come, like the actual purging of the data will from an FNO side, the cost saving will only be there like fully once you actually delete the data. So that's another thing to analyze.
So and part of the cost saving is you bring the data into the history table so that, you know, the 50, we normally that we have seen with that our experience with the customers kind of 50, on an average up to 50% of the saving of that particular data. And we are working on that the feature, additional feature called the purge, so that, you know, the naming convention could be the difference based on that, you know, target to that particularly related to the what the terminology it would be. But in the layman terminology, I can say purge. So that will delete the data from live table. Sorry, my bad, into the history table. So, and as a result of that particular the deletion or the purge of the history table, data will reside in the managed data lake. So that at that point, the managed data lake will contain live plus archive data. And there is as a part of that archival, there is a specific column that has been added. The name of the column in the FNO database is Sys Data State Code. So the value zero, that means it is a live record. When you run your data archival job, those as a part of the marking stage, like whatever the criteria you provide in your query criteria, rather that you give it to that your archival job, that particular data contract, those records will get marked into the FNO first. And those marked record will get copied into the history table, will get deleted into the FNO. And those marked records will get updated in the managed data lake as a Sys Data State Code equal to 1. So any point of time, if you query to that managed data lake using your fabric, and if you check for the Sys Data State Code equal to 0, that means these are the live records. When you say the Sys Data State Code equal to 1, these are all the archive records.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, one of the reason why I said that I think this is a really big thing is that prior to this, In especially in AX, when you ask finance, what do would you like to keep in the database? Their answer is always everything. And in that case, it was a fairly, I wouldn't say inexpensive thing, because it still cost a lot of money, because you needed to add SAN storage, needed to add backups, you needed, I mean, there was a lot of things that costed more when you added more storage and more disk and so on. But compared to what you pay per gigabyte in Dataverse or in Azure in this case, is it's still a cheap solution. And also the reason was that the people who ordered the data to be kept wasn't the ones that saw the invoice for the cost. They didn't see the cost because the cost was IT's and the data was finance. In this case, it's a license cost and it's a cost that hits finance directly. And I think that's also a very interesting part, because we have never had to decide what do we need to keep and what don't we need to keep. I was in a business case with a customer not that long ago, where we had a consultant from another company working with the customer, who said that we are not allowed to delete anything. And I was like, I think you do. No, we are not. Yeah, but there are laws that tells you how long you need to keep it, and you don't need to keep it longer than what the law in each country says.
Correct.
Yeah, but they had confused it with the fact that if you get sued, for instance, and you have kept it, then you're required to still keep it. You can't remove it after you got hit by a lawsuit. But that's not the same as you were forced to keep it before you got sued. You could have deleted it the day before, and no one would have said anything, because it's allowed. There is a law that says that, for instance, in Sweden, I think it's like 7 years. We need to keep some
similar
transactions.
Similar thing in the USA as well. Just for us, it's like particularly the customers in the public sector, they're required to, as a part of SOX compliance, the 7 years.
Exactly. We have 7 years in Sweden as well. In some cases, to be a data administrator, you need to be have legal counsel as well. As you want, I think that's what your point is, Johan. It has been, it's a data management thing with disks and backups, but it's also, I mean, when I start moving data out, I need to be very, very sure what I'm moving out of the system from a legal perspective. But it's true, this feature is built upon the already existing long-term storage in Dataverse, right? So in Power Platform CE, the same retention like functionality is being used, correct? Yeah. So when we activate this feature, we're basically activating the managed data lake, because you brought that up earlier, and I think that's a very interesting point, the BI story of it as well. Because when we archive a table using this solution, we're basically synchronizing the entire table, right, to Dataverse.
Correct.
And then in Dataverse, as well as in FNO, we can archive whatever we want to archive, but the live table will still be synced. So the storage will still be in Dataverse as well as in FNO. So if you're not doing any BI in Dataverse, that means that you will still have additional storage in Dataverse. So it's kind of, but if you are doing reporting in Dataverse, then it means that you can actually leverage the same tables for your reporting needs, right?
Correct. So it has been like, if you are aware of the BPA, so that BPA is also used the Dataverse, and the FNO archive behind the scene, it is a kind of the similar terminology that is being used, and the technology is almost similar that is being used. And we keep on syncing the live tables into the managed data lake, so that, you know, either you can use it in the BPA or you can use it as a your own lake of the perspective, like you can build that your own or your own analytics.
Analytics, yeah.
And we are moving towards that the one lake, the scenario, right? So there it would be easy from the reporting and analytics perspective, that it will made our customers and the partner can easily build their reports and an analytics story.
But that means that you are not able to activate archiving if you're not using, you are only able to activate it through through one lake, through the managed data lake?
Data archival, yes, because of when, and you just mentioned the Gustav that you mentioned about the particular, the legal compliance and all the stuff, yeah. Right? So when we bring that particular data out of the FNO, like it's not only one table, like if the GL, it's around 10 tables. When I talk about the sales order, it's around 13 to 14 tables,
yeah.
Right? So when you just bring that the particular data out of the FNO, it bring that all the records related to like into the child tables,
yeah.
Where it has been touch based. On top of that, if you have your own custom table that stores the data related to that sales order, and if you want to plug in your own table, you will be able to easily add it. Of course, using that, but yes, with a small set of the extension of that existing the framework class, you will be able to plug in your own table, and that you can enable your own table into the archival of out of box scenario.
Yeah, that's very nice. Yeah, exactly. Just tag into the framework, so it's we have supporting fields needed to mark the records, correct. Right?
Yeah, so that even that if you have a custom tables, if you have created the custom tables, it will be the one of the mandatory criteria to create all those custom custom fields in the history table as well as into the BI entity, because technically behind the scene it uses a virtual entity, the framework.
So if I'm using BPA, I'm using the same entities, or we're in this feature, we're using the same entities and the same storage for anything that we are using for BPA as well as archiving, that will like be the same storage in Dataverse. Is that correct? Yeah, but then it makes total sense, because that way we can leverage, because the cost in Dataverse isn't that cheap either. So it means if I move my data to Dataverse, I can use it for archiving and reporting, and it's an easier sellable use case for Yuan's finance people, where he has to explain the costs, right?
But like if you just see that the particular the cost, the report after execution of the data archival, you can easily track those records in the archive into the database size of your Dataverse, and all the tables will have a suffix retained, hyphen retained. So that means that these are all the tables that has been charged for the capacity of that particular storage occupied by those tables in the managed data lake, and Microsoft charge for the archive records.
Yeah, but you can have a different policy there, right? Because if I'm using Dataverse for reporting the managed data lake, I may want to keep my data for a much, much longer period for reporting needs than I do for in FNO for like performance needs. Because if I move all my reporting, not my sales reporting and BI reporting out of FNO to manage data lake, then I necessarily don't want to keep a lot of data in FNO for performance reasons, but I want to keep it longer in Dataverse, right? So you can have varying, the policy I set up in FNO doesn't delete anything in Dataverse, right?
Correct.
It deletes in FNO. Yeah.
Correct. And that is what the sysdata state code, that the column that I mentioned about. So I can just explain that particular with two scenarios. Let's say I have created the sales table, sales order. Mm-hmm. And the tomorrow I just come to know, like, I don't need that particular order. I just need to delete it. So I will delete it from the FNO. Since it's a normal delete action, that record will get, it will synchronize into the managed data lake, and this record will get deleted. However, the day after tomorrow, I will run that my data archival job, and that particular data archival job will delete the record from the live table, but those deletion is been triggered by that particular marking of those records. And when that particular delete action has been identified using that, the marking of those records will not get deleted from your managed data lake. So that is the difference between that, you know, the how that the deletion will happen to the normal delete action and the data archival action.
Okay, I think I understand. And I mean, it drives the point as well. I saw a discussion on feedback programs, I mean, surrounding this data management topic, because it's a very huge topic from an FNO perspective. Yeah. I saw someone requesting, I know I've been working a lot with retail. I mean, like throughout the history of AX 2009, 2012, you've always used this top 10 reports in SQL, and it's always the same tables. It's always event trends, and it's always the history tables, and it's always... and they keep coming back. And in retail, it's always the payment transactions which are causing like 50% of the storage is just blobs in payment trans. But that was already solved with the compression of tokens, another feature that was in. So the answer to data management is not only archiving, right? It's a story where you have to monitor all the batch jobs for cleanup, as you mentioned, the sales farm line, sales farm tables as well. So that's a new role, I think, Yuan, that we need to make sure that everyone has as well. Apart from maintaining all your processes, you need someone to maintain and monitor all the archiving jobs and all the cleanup jobs running, that they are running, because otherwise you will see degradation of performance very soon.
One thing that I also thought about was that you mentioned that there is, of course, a way to... This is not just an archiving solution for certain entities. It's basically a framework for us to create our own archiving solutions for specific entities. Right now, if I don't remember wrong, you have three different entities that you are archiving.
Currently, we are in the public preview. Yeah, so we are in the public preview of the data archive feature, that where we have enabled three scenarios: GL, sales order, and inventory transactions.
Yes.
We are testing text transaction and inventory journal as a kind of private preview with selective customers, and that will also get included in the public preview soon. There are a few more the test results that we need to see and the review. Based on that particular results, we should be able to publish it.
Yes, and but that also means that. But that also means that if I have something I want like to archive that you haven't started on yet, and or that you are not going to build, we can actually build our own.
Correct. So framework is ready. Yes. So now that the framework is ready, and we will publish that documentation soon. On that particular and we are in touch with some of that our ISV vendors. That you know, because they are the first party for us, like that you know, to support their solution from the archivers.
So the thing I like about that is that we have a colleague, me and Gustav, who is working with a company who generates a humongous amount of journals. I mean, very many. It doesn't correspond to transactions all the time, but it's a lot of journals. And the thing is that would actually encourage them to start using something other than journals to do what they do, because it sort of gives them another pattern to use in this case, because these temporary journals that they are creating today, they could actually be something else, not general journals in the solution, but something else, which means that you could have a more aggressive archiving policy towards those.
So
because they are not legal, they are not legally binding, or they are not there for legal reasons. They are there for other reasons, and in that case,
reasons, that they need to continue.
you could force them out earlier, and so on. I have one thing that I also, the first time I heard about the archiving, I actually had a wish. And because me and Gustav, we have customers. I'm guessing that everyone has a customer, at least one, probably all of them, that are keeping this old, like, AX2009, AX2012 environment around. It's on a VM. Hopefully it's in Azure and it's shut down, but it's still there, it still costs money, and it's still available. It would be fantastic if we were to be able to at least have some guidance to take that data and to push it into the archiving solution. That would be nice, because then we wouldn't have to keep old, like, Windows 2008 servers and SQL 2008 servers around just to be able to access the data.
That's the good point, Johan, I would say. Yeah. So that is like not the archiving, but that, you know, I would categorize that particular requirement as my analytics need. I just want to bring my either 2009 or 2012 data out of that with my the old ERP. I want to bring it to that my bring your own lake, or that wherever that is my one lake, that, you know, wherever it fit. And then I want to continue with my analytics need, so that with my forecasting could be depends on that nature of my business. I want 5 years of the forecasting, last 10 years of, depends, right? So if I wanted to see the trend, I want to do the trend analysis or anything kind of that particular analytics need. Yes, I need that my data. So probably like currently just we used to ask our customers to take it into the your lake and then you continue with your analytics need. Like you don't need to keep your that your 2012 or the 2009 system turned on, you know, to just go manually and have a look at it. Yeah.
But there is another aspect of it as well. And that is, I think most customers don't keep it for analytical reasons. They keep it for just in case. So it was legal reasons. Nice to be able to get the data from the old AX 2009 or 2012 database in a format where it makes sense. It provides analytics, but it also gives us the option to dig into that specific invoice in that specific case.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a tricky use case. I mean, it all depends on how mature your analytical team is. Either we have already built a lot of nice dashboards for a lot of data, and then it's like you say, Paresh, it's just getting the data into the lake and making sure that it's in the model that we use. And then it's just a matter of like any migration or any data extract that we do. But this kind of borders on the legal question, because I've been in this discussion before. It's not enough that we can give you the custom invoice journal table. We need to be able to replicate the actual document. And that's where the problem comes in many cases. Is it worth spending money on doing that rather than keeping the old system? I don't know for all reasons, but that's where the complexity comes in. But in the end, as you say, Paresh, it's just a lake. It's a data lake. It's a managed lake. You can bring your own data into it. And I think that's where the key component of the archiving solution comes in the discussion, at least. How mature are you to start using the managed lake in Dataverse to cover your reporting needs? You might have a different solution for it. So it's important to understand what you're getting here. Is not only just your data copied to another location, you're getting a data repository that you can leverage in your analytical solutions, and the cost that comes with it, of course. That needs to be
So you need the careful. Kind of to inquiry that particular data on that particular managed data lake. Yes, you will be required a fabric capacity, and that fabric capacity comes with the different the capacity size. You know.
Yeah.
So business as a customer, you can review that. You know, what is my need? Accordingly, you can choose that the capacity, and you may need to pay. So it is not like that. You know that I have only. Need to perform inquiry sometime or once in a week or the time, you know. So probably I will go with that the lowest capacity kind of the F2 where I will just pay only few dollars. Yeah. And it is also pay as you go. But if I am the customer, like the giant customer, like I have completely built that my analytics and everything on top of that, might be that I may need, and my transaction volume is also high. So definitely I may need to go choose that, you know, the high fabric capacity.
Yeah, of course.
So it's not like that, you know, I can say that the ant and the elephant is paying the same. No, it depends on the size of that, you know, that you need.
Yeah, and the maturity as well. And I mean, the business case here is if you're already doing your analytics on Dataverse, and it also lights up a lot of Power Platform scenarios, just getting that data into Dataverse. So there's a lot of benefits of it. It's just to be clear about what you're using and what you're using it for. And it's very nice that it's the same. We're not like using BPA. We get a lot of nice models and nice data, and then we activate archiving, and then we just duplicate it. It's nice that it's not that we're leveraging the same entities and the same architecture, and that makes total sense to me.
Correct. And on top of that, that particular scheduling that your the data archival job, it allow you to whether you want to run immediately or you want to start executing it from that my off business hours. On top of that, it allow you to schedule that your job, like you decide you want to run it in during that your off business hours. You can specify the time. And based on that, that particular archival will run on that time. Except that the initial sync is going to, like, it will run through all the time. The reason behind is that it's a one-time activity, syncing the data from live table to the managed data lake. But it's a one-time effort. But then continuously it will be incremental sync.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the first time, of course, takes longer. I have a super technical question. When you do the initial purging or initial archiving of data, moving from live table to history table, is it also then triggering database maintenance jobs, or is there any risk of like ongoing indexing jobs being impacted? Because if I remove a lot of data from my tables, you need to update the indexes as well, right? You might need to run some database maintenance jobs. Is there best time to run the archiving jobs during night, or is there any risk of like database maintenance jobs being affected by the archiving?
That's the good question, Gustav. So answer to that particular question is now that Microsoft Dynamics is a SaaS solution. Yeah. Database maintenance activity is responsibility of Microsoft, right? Yeah. So we have DAMS system. So that is the algorithm that has been written. And it keep on reviewing that the performance. So like in the earlier days, it was a part duty of the database administrator, right?
Yeah.
They keep on eye on that the execution of the query performance of the database. And accordingly, they used to take the corrective action. Same thing, it has been made in the SaaS solution. It has been taken care by DAMS. So DAMS is that the kind of agent that who keep an eye on the performance of your database. Whenever it required, like this query need to be optimized, need to be fine-tuned, database index need to be rebuilt. It will 24 hours, 24/7, it will keep an eye on that your production database. Whenever that it get the window, the time, it will trigger the job and it will execute.
Okay.
Right? So it is not like that it is a night time. It could be if it get the window, the ideal time to perform the database maintenance on that specific table or on that specific index, it will keep on doing it.
Yeah, right. I understand. So it's we need to be mindful, as always, when we do any large operations in specifically production, but it will self-heal, basically.
Yeah. And on top of that, currently, it's we are in the public preview. We are taking the continuously feedback. And we are working on that kind of the functionality that will come soon. That is called the kind of pause functionality. So if you are expecting some big payload to be executed, you know, on your production environment, and you don't want that, you know, the archive to make any kind of the trouble. So you forcefully make that, you know, the archival job to take a pause sometime and let that my payload run in that in my business hours. And then I can just simply resume that where it was.
Yeah, it'll pick up with a bit of a load, but it will pick up. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
So these are the what like that, you know, the feedback and as a part of the continuous improvement of the our product. That is what that we are working on.
Cool. As you say, Johan, I mean, I think for a majority of our, we'll be playing it safe, of course, and trying it out, of course, in sandboxes, etc., to kind of get a understanding of how long it takes. But then you have these, and I believe you guys with the telemetry data, you have maybe have customers, like the top one big data customer. It will be a very controlled effort to archive it. Yeah. But it varies with size, of course.
Yeah. So like I have been engaged with that customer, like we're having a few hundred million to few billion records, and that we are just testing with the data archiving. So So like all the different segments, different geography, you know, and the different size, that we want to run it, to test it, and see that, you know, that how it works.
Yeah, there must be a fun dashboard that you guys have. Like, okay, I want to see all the customers with the largest databases. Okay, here they are. Then you can just, hello, can I reach out to you for a question? That's very nice.
Yep.
All right, Johan, do you have anything else? I think it's been a very interesting talk, Parvesh, and I really look forward to stay in touch. And just shout out if you haven't joined the feedback programs on I was going to say Yammer, but Viva Engage, of course, to stay in touch. You guys do not monthly meetings, but you do have reoccurring meetings, right? And information posts.
So we are hosting that, we call it as office hours, the Yammer office hours on the Yammer channel. We are going to increase now that we are in the public preview. So we already made that announcement, and probably from the next Tuesday onward. Earlier, it was a bi-weekly, and we are going to make it a weekly. Okay. So we'll be meeting weekly basis. We cover we host the two meetings. One is cover the APEC time zone. Another is the US and the Europe time zone. So that, you know, we get opportunity to get the feedback from all over the globe. The maximum number of customers and partners joined at the office hours and just share the feedback, as well as we take it as an opportunity to make the announcement about that, any particular change in the data archive.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you so much, Prores, for joining us. We had a very interesting conversation. I really look forward to trying out the archiving solution even more with actual, not just Contoso data. It's fun, but it's not like
it's real data.
Yeah, exactly. To use the real data. And I wish you a pleasant day. Take care, Prores. Thank you.
Thank you. And just feel free to reach out to me in case of that if you need any help on the data archive stuff. My name is Prores Vaghasia. My email address is pvaghasia@microsoft.com. So if you have any questions related to the data archive, feel free to reach out. I'll be happy to help.
Take care, Prores, and very good work with the archiving.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.